The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious and sensitive topics, including mental health struggles. If you at any point require support, please contact your local crisis centre. Listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. In this episode, I sit down for an interview with an exciting up-and-coming indie artist out of Canada named Little Wolf. Currently based in LA, Little Wolf blends the genres of electronica, afro house, and ambient soul music, creating warm melodic beats with lyrics straight from the heart. During the interview, we discover Little Wolf's musical influences, his struggles growing up, including the loss of his mother at just the age of 10, his rebellious teenage years, his incredible experiences traveling the world, including his fascinating spiritual experience during an ayahuasca ceremony. We discuss Little Wolf's latest tracks, where he came up with his name, and what we can expect from him leading into the future. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with Little Wolf. He was such an interesting, humble, and down-to-earth guy, and I think you'll really feel that throughout this interview. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
Leave
Billy
alone!
Hello and welcome, Miguel, also known as Little Wolf, to Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Been really looking forward to having you on the show. How are you and how's your day been so far?
It's been good. It's been good. I just landed in Berlin last week, so just kind of getting sorted out here. But thank you for having me on. Love your podcast. Love all the documentary stuff you do about all these great artists. So excited to be here.
Thank you. So before we get into like the deeper stuff, is there any song or artist lately that you have been like obsessed with and just sort of can't get enough of?
Yeah, Ryex.
Okay.
Just such a big fan of his.
Yep.
We are social in similar circles in LA. He's friends with some of my friends, but I haven't really got a chance to meet him yet. But I just really love the work he's doing, his songwriting, his lyrics, his voice. Just a big fan.
Yep. Yeah, I've been getting into like Hotel Apache. They're like a band out of California.
Yeah,
and Bon Iver as well, who I noticed you're also a fan of and
inspired
by. His latest album, Sable Fable, like been getting right into that. So I hear you're a big fan of his.
Yeah, yep. Hugely. Yeah. If I like my dream sound would be if Rufus Du Sol had a baby with like Bon Iver or Ryex.
Yeah.
That's sort of.
Yeah, Rufus Du Sol's good too, like Inner Bloom.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
That's a classic album.
Yeah. So are there any songs or artists from your childhood that you believe shaped your taste in music or like made you want to pursue your ambitions as a musician?
This is a throwback. Lightning Crashes by Live or anything by Bush X. I was big into like grunge and, you know,
Nirvana.
Like my childhood was... There was a lot happening there emotionally. And so music was sort of a safe place and a refuge. And so I sort of, leaned more towards emotionally charged kind of music.
Bands like Nirvana and all that, or
Yeah, huge. Yeah, Nirvana, Bush, Live, like all those guys. Yeah. Not so much Pearl Jam for some reason. I was big into the whole grunge era, but Pearl Jam never really sort of captured me in the same way.
That's fair enough. So you grew up in, you say you grew up in the forested area of Sault Ste. Marie. I hope I've said that right.
Yeah, no, you actually got it
Oh,
right.
nice. In Ontario, Canada. Could you describe for our listeners what it was like growing up in this area and what your fondest memories were from your childhood?
So Sault Ste. Marie is a very small town, maybe 60,000 people. It's a border town, so it's right in the middle of the Great Lakes. And so there's, not a whole lot to do there other than be outside and be in nature. And so I think that's where my love of backpacking and camping and, kayaking and everything and, the streak in me that's a bit more prone to adventure. And yeah, I think that's where all that sort of stems from, because you're also pent up all winter long because the winters there are really harsh. So the moment that you get to be outside during the summer, you're like out there, and you never want to really sort of be inside once the sun's out. I would say my favorite memories, yeah, it's really just campfires on the beach with my friends, like that was the thing we would do. We would just pack up our car, disappear for a weekend. Campfire, some tents, some food, and we would, come back maybe a couple of days later, but that was my favorite thing to do for sure growing up.
Were you into any other other things, like instead of music, like sport or
I
winter?
played basketball. So basketball was my sport. Well, grew up in Canada, so everyone played hockey, and that's what I sort of wanted to do in life. Well, sorry, no. That's what I wanted to do growing up was play hockey, but my parents couldn't afford it. So, there's three boys and skates and pads and membership fees and stuff was too expensive. And so I got a basketball and just played at the school courts that were available outside.
Yeah, here in Australia, I grew up on rugby league, and which I don't know if he's playing much over there. I don't think so.
I've been to Australia for a month and I have never played rugby, but I know that it's huge over there. Like that's just like your national sport. Yeah. Did you play?
I played just, amateur sort of thing.
Nice. Nice. Love that.
At the age of 10, you sadly lost your mother to cancer, leaving you as an orphan before you found your adoptive family. Could you describe for our listeners what it was like growing up facing such adversity, and how do you feel it shaped you as a person and as an artist?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the larger defining sort of couple years of my life. My dad was a really abusive alcoholic who had left before my mother passed away. So we were sort of on our own. I wouldn't say technically orphan because my biological father was still alive, but not present, So just left sort of on our own. And it was hard, I remember bouncing around from friend's couch to friend's couches some summers, just doing anything I could to sort of have a place to be. And my friend's mom kind of saw what was happening. And so one day they sort of approached me and they just said, "Hey, listen, there's a spare room here. And so there's a bed here for you anytime you ever need it or want it." And that was the family later on that ended up sort of adopting me. That's who I consider my family. I think I was in a really rough way. Like I was getting kicked out of class every day. I was rebelling against the world. I didn't trust authority. I didn't trust anything or anybody. And so it left to this really sort of energetics of just, I can only depend on myself, and I don't think my life trajectory at that point was heading in a great direction. I think it forced me to grow up really young and I learned a lot. And one thing that my mom did say to me, when I asked her why this was happening when she was passing away, is that she said, "Maybe this is only happening to you so that you can help somebody else who's going through it later on." And so I've kind of really held that in my heart a lot. And so throughout that time, music was my escape from the realities of what was happening. I think it's why it's shaped me in sort of some capacity where I volunteer a lot in various organizations with underprivileged youth or troubled youth, or I've volunteered at retreat centers and stuff like that, and just found different ways to be able to impact and be available and be of service and help people. But I think it's also formed me in the sense where it's given me this wildly sort of wild and independent streak. And so I think that's why I've also pushed back against the norm and sort of just charted my own path in a lot of ways, and rebelled against a lot of different establishments. So, and sometimes that's worked out for me, and other times not so much, you know? But yeah, here we are now, you know?
Did you find after her passing and dealing with all of this, did you lean into music more and start writing songs or producing your own material, playing guitar?
Yeah, 100%, pretty much. So I had my physical outlet was basketball, and so that's where I would use that outlet, you know, unknowingly. Like, I wasn't mature or aware enough at that time to really understand that I was moving so much energy through moving my body. But so energetically, physically on the basketball court is where I found peace, and then socially and emotionally, my internal world was music. I could just put my headphones on and get lost. I started playing drums and guitar early on, and I remember just being locked away in my bedroom for as soon as I came home from school till I went to bed, just playing guitar or tapping on something or drumming on something. My first drum kit was literally some buckets and some pillows. So, but I loved it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. You mentioned in your Spotify bio that you use music as an escape. So what was it you felt like you were escaping from? Was it just all the struggles at home or
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I think that the real at that point, anything to distract myself from having to feel everything that I was feeling, that I didn't understand what was happening to make sense of things. It also, you know, it took me a while to find my place in the world and see where I like belonged. And so, I think because of everything that I was dealing with too, I wasn't great in school, you know. I wasn't focused. I wasn't getting kicked out of class every day. That makes me a bit socially awkward then with other kids to build friendships and community and connection, because, you know, I think like naturally what happens is you sort of push everyone away, you know, because you don't trust that they'll be there in any sort of capacity, and you're testing things constantly. And so that makes you know. To my teacher's credits, I was a very difficult student or kid to be around at that time. I think that's what's so special about the family that took me in. It wasn't like they took me in because I was easy and super lovable, you know? I remember they would drag me to church, and church didn't want me there. It's like, you know, I was just so disruptive, you know, I was just doing anything to try and get some attention. But they persisted. They just unconditionally loved me for so many years, and slowly over time that started to melt away, and I started to settle and relax and feel grounded, you know. And so it was just this long trajectory of unconditional love that really sort of helped me come around to being a more productive person and more settled person, more grounded person. And yeah, I think that like that had a huge impact and change in my life. And I think that's why it's also given me sort of an ethos of understanding that like if you really do want to help somebody, it's not 1 hour and then change, you know, or 1 weekend and then change. It really takes a lot of love and a lot of time and consistency in someone's life to bring around a meaningful change, you know? So yeah, we like to think that it's just a single conversation and then there's going to be an aha moment and then everything else sort of unfolds and changes. But I don't know that to be true from my experiences.
You then began your career as a producer and sound engineer, where over time you would go on to produce around 20 albums for other artists. Did you ever get that itching feeling when you were producing for others, to become a solo artist yourself?
Yeah, so I got into music because I wanted to do my own music, and I went to school And when in school, I took music production and recording. I took some theology, some adolescent development. I took kind of anything that interested me. I didn't really sort of follow a path of this was what's going to lead to a degree, because I also didn't know sort of what I wanted to do at that point. And I just fell in love with the recording studio. And after my first or second year in school, I was obviously rebelling against the school, and I was like sneaking into the recording studio at nighttime so I can spend more time in there working on stuff. They'd only issued me 2 blocks of time in the recording studio a week, which I didn't feel was enough. And so I moved my dorm next to the recording studio so I could see if anybody wasn't using their blocks of time, and at which point I would then go in and use up their blocks. And so I just really, really fell in love with the recording studio. But when the school caught on that I was in there so much, and that I was like, before they locked up at night, I would go hide in the closet. I would go in an hour before, hide in the closet under a blanket. They would lock up, and then I would be in there all night working. And so when they caught on to that, they suspended my recording studio privileges. So then, stubbornly, instead of accepting my punishment, I said, "Well, screw you. I'm taking the rest of my tuition money, and I'm starting my own recording studio." And so then, that rebellious streak was still very alive then. And so I started my own recording studio. I had a band. I wanted to record our own music, but I also had to drive a sense of income and pay for this. And so then I started producing music for other people. And the intent was always to do my own music as well too, but it just never seemed to materialize. Like I would always start on some projects, but then get busy on somebody else's album. And I learned that I really love the collaborative process. Like, I love collaborating with other artists. I love producing. I like working with other people. I just think like art and music is such like a world where you get to blend so many different things and take influence from so many people. So yeah, so there's always this big desire, to answer your question, this desire to do my own music in my heart. But then life just kind of kept unfolding, and more people kind of kept coming to me to produce their album or record their album. And then that kept escalating. And then before I knew it, I had, 5 or 6 months of bookings ahead. And then, there wasn't trying to find time in between that to make my own music. And so that was really challenging. And then I kept growing, and I kept working on bigger and bigger albums. And one of the albums I did was a metal album, and I was part of that project. And then they won a Juno, and that was really cool. And so then I started feeling like, okay, this is an exciting career, and but I don't want to stay in Sault Ste. Marie because it's a small town. There's a ceiling to what you sort of accomplish there. And so my thought was, maybe I go to Toronto and build up a reputation there. But ultimately, that's still a small market. I would then have to move to New York or LA after that and start all over again. So my thought process was, instead of starting all over multiple times, was to just shoot for the moon, and move to either LA or New York and start at the bottom and start climbing my way up there. And so I worked with an immigration lawyer and got my visa and got down to LA, packed up my car, yeah, went for it.
So like you just said, you made the move to LA, and started sharing your photography, directing music videos, advertisements, and short fashion films, like the award-winning Lover's Game and Kiss of a Siren, as well as working with DreamWorks animation director Vicky Jensen. How did you find yourself fitting all of this into your busy schedule? And could you describe for our listeners what this time in your life was like?
Yeah, this was a really interesting, beautiful, creative time. I just landed in LA. Obviously, music is what I'm wanting to do, but it's tough. It's super competitive. And, there's moments of living out of your car or living out of a tiny apartment. And so you're just wanting to get involved. I didn't really know anybody down there yet. I didn't have any leads. And I just knew that this is where the industry was. And so you're just knocking on a lot of doors and you're saying yes to everything, And so, very curious human, just wanting to get involved. And so I would approach people and be like, "Hey, what's your project? What are you working on? How can I help? Happy to help for free. Just want to get involved." And sometimes it was music, and that was great. And so I got to do the thing that I really loved. And other times they needed help with other things, and I was like, "Okay, let me figure that out. I'll do that," And so I started picking up a camera. I started learning post work and editing videos. I started shooting videos eventually. I started whatever I could do to just get involved in the creative industry, And eventually that led to me working for Dan Licht under under him at his recording studio. He was the composer for Dexter and
Oh, yeah.
Silent Hill and a bunch of other stuff. And so I worked under him, one of his mix engineers, and he let me write a little bit under him, and it was sort of discipling me and mentoring me. And so that was sort of my first big break, and what led to my visa and my ability to really be in the US for long term. Yeah, so it was more of an approach of what can I do to get involved? Doesn't matter what it is, I'll figure it out, you know. And yeah, I did find some success in photography and video directing, and I love that medium. I think the thread that I've learned is that music is my love, but also too, I just love to create things, you
Yeah.
know. And so they're just different mediums, and so you get to take an idea that's in your head and bring it to reality, whether it's with oil, paint, or with pastels, or you know, with video or with sound. But it's just this idea of taking ideas that are in your mind and bringing them into the real world.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So judging by your Instagram posts, it's clear that you love to travel the world and live your life on the edge. With many hikes, shark dives, and rock climbs featured along the way. Which of these incredible experiences were the most memorable, and which country was your favorite to visit?
Ah, man, you've done your research here. Eh? This is awesome.
I have.
Wow. Okay. It's been such a long dream of mine to just be able to be nomadic and to travel and explore the world. I think it's been something I've been wanting to do for such a long period of time, and especially when I was starting to get really locked into being in a recording studio constantly. You know, sometimes they can just be very dark, little sunless rooms, you know, and you're in there for such a long period of time editing vocals or tuning drums and whatever have you. And so the idea of just being able to be out in the world, to experience the world, to meet people, to be adventurous, was always really sort of appealing and calling to me. And so it's been beautiful now at this point with the advancements of technology where I can travel with a laptop and get so much done, you know, with a single microphone. And so yeah, so I'm taking advantage of that right now and enjoying that whole process, and I'm meeting so many incredible artists along the way and collaborating with so many cool people. And sometimes it's music and sometimes it's not. Like I'm in Berlin for a couple of weeks now, and most of the artists I've met a few musicians that are really good, but most of the artists I've met are just these prolific tattooers. And so I, you know, you never really know what people you're going to meet or what you're going to find yourself into, but like some of the most incredible tattooers I've ever seen, and visual artists that I've ever seen. But yeah. And then I would say my favorite, well, Africa was pretty wild. I got to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I got to go on safari and see all these incredible animals. I met some incredible singers and drummers and musicians. And so that was really wild. Also, I was in your backyard too. I did Australia for a month. That was really cool. People laugh and they say, "Why Australia? What would you like about Australia?" And I say, "The rocks." But like, you guys have incredible rocks there,
Yeah, I
like
saw
the
that.
Mpinga boulders, the
The rock
canyons. Like,
formations that you were enjoying that.
And Uluru, like, yeah,
Uluru,
it was just wild. Yeah, so I took a camper van and went all the way around and then up through the middle, and it was epic, man. Yeah, and the Great Barrier Reef, like, Australia's a vibe.
There's so many different like places to see. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned tattoos. I noticed you got a few yourself.
Yeah.
What one would you say like is the most special and has like a bit of like meaning behind it, sort of thing?
The one that I'm working on right now is pretty symbolic for me. It's on my leg, but it's a visual representation of, so I did this ayahuasca journey. One of my first ones before I was volunteering at an ayahuasca retreat center, but one of my first ones. And when my mom passed away, I've always had this large regret that I didn't get to. I remember one of the last times I saw her, she wanted to have this conversation with me, you know, like a very focused sort of like sit down, say goodbye sort of. And she recorded the conversation as well too, so I'd have it as a keepsake. And at that age, I didn't really fully grasp what was happening, you know. And my mom had been in and out of the hospital for multiple years. I'd been in foster care for multiple years. And so I just thought, like, it was another visit to the hospital. And I was so preoccupied with just wanting to eat Jell-O and play on the wheelchair. And I wasn't super present with my mom. And it's probably one of my largest regrets of my life, you know. And it was one of the last times that I ever saw her. And then when I watched that video, it kills me because, like, here's someone who's going to pass away, and I couldn't even give them focused 5 or 10 minutes of my time. And to be fair, like I didn't grasp what was happening, but it sucks, you know? And so when I was going into this ayahuasca ceremony, I had this huge intention to really sort of connect with my mom and finally say a proper goodbye and stuff like that. And so I'm in my ceremony, my first ceremony, it was just me reliving all of that with sort of no conclusion or no healing or rewriting of that. And so I remember leaving the first ceremony really confused because, like, well, this was really terrible. This was just me reliving some really dark, shitty moments of my life. But then my second ceremony the next day, sort of it came back full circle to that. And so my mom showed up and she was really present in that. And I was dealing with some of the stuff again, just the regrets and stuff. And so I asked my mom for help and I said, "Hey, can you help me?" And she says, "What do you want?" Playfully, sarcastically joking, And I was like, "Oh, I need some help, like I would really like to connect with you, And she's like, "Well, I'm busy playing on the wheelchair and eating Jell-O, in her sense of humor, So I started laughing. I was like, "Okay, I see you." And she's like, "I'm just joking." And then she said, "Well, do you want to dance with me? I want to dance with you." And so I says, "Oh, okay." And I don't know if you've done anything like that, but you're just so incapacitated when you're on this medicine. Like you could barely walk, you could barely stand up, And so like I'm laying down on my mat where I'm supposed to be, and I just wave my arms a little bit and move my body a little bit, which is about mostly what I could accomplish at that time. And she said, "Is that it? I'm here and I want to hang out with you. I want to dance with you, and that's it. You're just gonna wiggle around on your mat a little bit." She's like, "Stand up, like dance with me." And I said, "Okay, mom, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get up right now. I don't even know if my legs will like stand, But she's like, "Get up and dance with me." So I says, "Okay." So I start like trying to stand on my two legs, which are like wobbly as shit. And I'm worried I'm gonna fall over to the person on my right or fall on the person to my left and wake somebody up, or I'm gonna be disruptive in any sort of way. But I finally managed to get on my feet. I'm standing, shaky as hell. And I was like, "Okay." So I just sway a little bit from left to right. I don't want to move my feet too much. I don't want to fall over. And she says, "That's it? That's all you got? Like, I'm here. Like, fucking dance with me. Like, what is happening? And I says, "Okay, but like, I don't want to fall. I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't want to, And she says, "Miguel, I bore those legs of yours in my womb. I reached up into the stars and the universe and pulled down magic and stardust and formed your legs in my womb with love and intention. They are strong. Through the highs and through the lows of life, no matter where you go, no matter what comes your way, they will carry you. Trust yourself." And it was such a beautiful sort of pivotal moment, as I travel the world, as I do often feel like sometimes on my own, and I have a beautiful family now, but just this sense of like I'm out in the world wandering and things happen in life that are sometimes challenging and good. It's just such a beautiful reminder that I rest in, that like I know that no matter what storms come, I'll be able to weather them and move through them. And so I'm getting this big piece on my leg right now that sort of symbolizes all of that.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. I've got a few tattoos myself, based on like I've lost a couple friends over the years and yeah, got like tattoos for them, so they're always special. Like tattoos are just another great form of art, like where you can express yourself and yeah, I love
Absolutely.
it.
How'd you lose your friends?
Yeah. They took their own life, sadly.
Wow.
Yeah, both of them. So yeah, it's pretty tough, but yeah, got some tattoos to remember them and pay tribute to them. So
I'm sorry.
yeah,
That's a
that's all
tough
right.
way to lose people you love and care about,
Yeah, for sure. The two of the greatest guys like I've ever met, sort of thing in my life. But yeah, it's tough. But yeah, they're always
It's
in here.
Do
So
you ever sort of have this feeling of like, what could I have done?
yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And like that never sort of leaves you, right? Like
No.
there's this understanding that you know that it's not your fault, but there's still this sense of like, fuck, if I could have, like
Yeah. If I could have called or, yeah. If I could have
I've had,
answered phone calls more often, not been so busy with my own life. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. For sure.
What do you do with
Yeah.
that?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know really. It just you just gotta get on with it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard, definitely. I think about them every day, so
Yeah.
as I'm sure you do with your mother and that. So yeah.
Yeah. I've had some brushes and some situations where people have also taken their lives in my life, and it's just this same thing, this knowing that it's not my fault, but there's still this part of me that like, fuck, if I would have done that. Sorry, can I
Yeah,
should
that's
watch my
okay.
language.
No, it's fine.
But
Yeah.
but you're just like, man, yeah, like you said, what if I called? What if I did this? What if, if I would have paid attention more and had I known, but that's such a devastating one. And I don't know what you do to manage that other than, like you said, just move on, carry on.
Yeah, it's all you can do, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how and when did you come up with the name Little Wolf? And is there any significant meaning behind the name?
Yeah, there is. Man, we're having a deep conversation today
Yeah.
about my personal life. Okay. Little Wolf came because I was with some friends and they were all talking about their spirit animal or the animal that they associate with or identify with. And, my friends were like, well, I identify with the lion or I identify with the bunny or I identify with this. And they sort of asked me what was sort of my animal. And I kind of was drawing a blank. Couldn't really come up with anything, and I thought it was kind of odd because I've loved animals my whole life, and so like, why is this so difficult, and so I sat with that, and then once again in an ayahuasca ceremony, the wolf came and visited me, and it made sense. It was an animal that I really sort of associated with, like, especially as a lone wolf, but also wolves are pack animals, and so there's this duality of both those things being very true. And then they're deeply spiritual and mystic and a lot of beautiful qualities that they have that I aspire to. But what would the defining idea was that really my dad's favorite animal was the wolf, and because of my upbringing and the problems I had with him, I didn't want to identify with that animal, because it was his favorite animal. And for so much of my life, so much of my energy has gone into being anything but like my dad, and so, like they say that like one of the forever sort of driving forces in a man's life is they either grow up living in their father's shadow of his greatness and trying to aspire to live up to that, or they try to push away and try to be anything but him because of the not so great example that he's set. And so I was in that camp. And so me accepting the wolf as my animal was me accepting all the parts of myself that I'd cut out in my life because I didn't want to be like my dad. And so that was making peace with those parts of myself and loving all parts of myself. And so that's the symbolism of the wolf and for me. And then little, because I like this idea that like usually when people depict a wolf, it's very predatory, like fangs are out, it's very aggressive, it's in hunter mode. But I like the idea of it being playful and little and cubbish and just having fun and enjoying the world and keeping its playful young mischief. Yeah. And innocence. Yeah.
So it's got like a real spiritual sort of meaning as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nice.
hugely.
Nice. In January 2025, you released your debut EP titled Relationships 1.0. What was it like creating your first EP as a solo artist? And is there a song that you were most proud of from that EP?
it has been so many years coming to actually put out my own music, and it's interesting as a producer, as a creative, you're never happy with your own work, And so over the years, I'd put some music together, mixed it, recorded it, and then was never happy with it, and so just never released it. And so this past year, my last year actually was my promise to myself that no matter what, like my goal this year was to put out my EP or my album, and sure enough, I get through the process of writing five or six songs and I get to the end of it and I'm no longer happy with them. And you learn a lot in the process, so you want to redo them. But then the end of the year was coming. And so I said, I was talking about my friend, Casey Lee, who's a really good friend of mine, and she was just, we were just like, gotta put it out, gotta do the thing. You you can't wait till it's perfect or till you're happy with something until you release it to the world. You just got to put it out and move on to the next and start the process, you know? And so the idea of it is I just need to start the process. And so, which was the right information. I think, you know, as artists, we kind of get held into a place of stagnation by always wanting our best self to be put out into the world. And, you know, when I look at a lot of other successful artists that I look up to, like Montel Fish and stuff like that, like they were putting out music for so many years before stuff really started to go off, you know? And so it's just this idea that, all right, I feel like this EP is a fair enough representation of me. I am happy with the work that I did there. Is it everything that I want it to be? No, but it doesn't matter. I just need to put it out, move on, and continue to do more work and continue to share it with the world. And so it hasn't been released yet, but I have an EP coming out soon from my month in Africa. And so there's great collaborations there, and Undone is part of that as the lead single from it. And so there's another five or six songs coming. And then I was just recently in Bali and I did another EP there, about four or five songs with some really cool artists that I met there. And then I'm just in the middle in Berlin now, starting to collaborate with some artists. And so we'll probably do another three or four songs here. And so I know that there's like only a little bit of music out there of mine right now, but there's like a whole catalog of music that's ready to go and to be shared with the world. And so we're just queuing all that stuff up and getting all the content ready for it, and going to be releasing a lot of that soon. So I'm excited to share what's coming, you know, as well as proud of having started the process and being vulnerable enough to share with the world, you know, work in progress and just start. Yeah.
My
Does that answer the
yeah,
question?
no, for sure, yeah. My personal favorite from that EP would have to be Love Me Harder. It's just like got a beautiful melodic tone to it, and your vocals are like on point.
Thank you.
But it's also now eclipsed over 1.2 million views on YouTube, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
You mentioned in the song description that it tells the story of a lover yearning for a deeper, more meaningful connection. What or who was the inspiration for this song?
It's interesting. So I will answer that question. But that song is such a, it's a really beautiful song for me. It's a really important, significant song for me. But what's interesting is as I've been putting out music now, I'm caught between these two worlds, right? One of the big reasons why you make music is you want to be able to perform it and share it, you know? And a lot of the music I gravitate towards can be a little bit more melancholic or a little bit more emotional. And so like Bon Iver and Ry X and stuff like that. But I love that music, and Love Me Harder is in that vein, you know? And I want to make a lot more music like that. And also I noticed that when I go to play live, especially in the world now dominated by DJs and dancing and stuff like that, stuff like Rufus Du Sol and like Who Made Who and all those sorts of, and all that music sort of really translates well live, you know? And so and I love that music also, you know? And so I'm caught between these two places of, okay, what kind of music do I make moving forward? Because I do want to be able to go and play a show live for 60 minutes or a couple hours, and it not just be, you know, like a lot of slower, moodier music where people are just curious, like not sure what to do with themselves for an hour and a half. And also that music captivates my soul in so many ways. And so, yeah, so it's interesting that that's the song that you gravitated towards too, because I love that. And yet like live, everyone, you know, loves things like the newer, more dancier stuff that I've been working on lately, that's a little more Afro House influence or EDM influence. So I love that you said that. Thank you. That's such a good encouragement for me to continue to make more music like that, regardless of how it translates live, because it does feed my soul in so many ways.
Pulling me closer.
Your latest release from July 2025, called Undone, is also another of my favorite tracks of
Woohoo!
yours. What was the story behind this track?
So Undone, I was in Africa. So I went to a big bucket list item of mine was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. So I did that. And then right after that, I was meeting and hanging out with all these cool artists. And then all of a sudden, I was at Africa Burn. And Africa Burn was transcendent. There was just like so much great, incredible music there. So many people making all this music that I've been listening to Afro House and Melodic House and Afro Beats for a long time. And I'm a piano for a long time, but just the level at which it was presented and displayed and a lot of new music that I hadn't come across yet. It was such a big influence on me. So that like right away when I was in my little camper van, still there, I was on my laptop just being so inspired by all of this and wanting to make music in that fashion and try and capture that moment of all of that feeling, And coming undone is sort of this idea of just being totally free and uninhibited and just like unraveling in the most vulnerable but like wild way, and being able to do that comfortably in relationship or even with friends or whatnot, but just being able to strip away all the armor, all the walls, all the guardrails, and just to be fully yourself and however messy that seems to present itself,
Yeah, I love the flowing beat of that song. It's just got that, like, yeah, it's
Thank
nice.
you.
What are your goals moving forward into the future, and where do you see yourself in the next like 5 to 10 years, or hope to see yourself?
So two things. So I want to keep like and we talked about this earlier with Love Me Harder, this idea of putting out music that one I can go and play like a festival like Burning Man and do a great set like Jan Blomqvist does, for like a good couple hours and people can dance but also can touch hearts in that way. And also still be able to take other music like Bon Iver and stuff like that that I want to do more of, and sit in a more acoustic setting and play and share in that sort of way that's a bit more intimate and close, closer, smaller circles. And so I want to create enough of a library of music to be able to bring those two things to life because I think those two things are sort of what I'm driving towards. And so if I can travel the world, meet a bunch of great artists. I love making music with other people. I love collaborating with other people. I think that's when I'm happiest. So if I can keep doing that. And also too, I noticed when I was in Africa, the people that I met there, like the musicians that I met there, like what the is in the water? They are so freaking good. They're so talented. But there's, just this inability to get exposure there. It's just like it almost breaks your heart a little bit because one of the artists, like for example, the onset that I was working with there, probably some of the most talented singers and songwriter, like as a group that like I like, wow, and yet they couldn't even afford the Uber ride to the studio, and so it's like the level of poverty is very real there, and I remember they were just amazed that I had the newest iPhone and they were asking to take photos and videos with it because like the quality of that compared to what they have access to on their phone, And I thought to myself, wow, if I could like, they were asking me for help and I said, well, I can help and record your music. I can do that and you can put it out into the world. But I was like, how do I really actually help? How do I drive exposure to them? And so I was thinking, what if I can build this platform, this idea that, here I am as a producer and as an artist traveling the world, and I meet all these great artists and I record music with them, and then I put that out into the world as sort of a time capsule of every country that I've gone to, and then I can shine a spotlight on all the people that I've met along the way, and maybe that can help them in some sort of way. And so I think that the idea is I have to build a big enough platform that gets enough attention so that I can then shed that attention to whoever, is I meet that I feel like, really deserves it, So I've never really had a big desire for the spotlight in a big way. And I'm actually a little bit scared that this becomes successful in any sort of significant way, because I don't think I want to be a person that is not able to move freely in the world because of fame or notoriety, and I'm kind of a little apprehensive about that. I do want to be able to share music, but I don't want to have to, live the life of all of these famous celebrities. And not to say that like my stuff is even good enough to be on that level, but it is a thought in my mind that I, that scares me a little bit. Like, what happens if this does become successful? And my desire would be more so to shine a spotlight on other people. In that regard. But to be able to do that in some capacity, you have to build some sort of platform that has the capacity to do that as well too, And so this is sort of what I'm wrestling with and working on right now and seeing what makes the most sense.
Just one I'll throw in there. Favorite Nirvana song?
As you are drenched in mud, as I want
Oh, yeah.
you to be.
Come
Yeah.
as you are. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll
Yeah.
have to say Heart Shaped Box, but Come As You
That's a
Are,
good
close
one.
second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you could, so a little bit of a fun, different question. If you could bring someone back from the dead, like an artist,
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, yep, you'd want to collaborate with him or meet him. Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's you know, like you play that game of like who would you have at your dinner table if you could have anybody, I think he would definitely be on that list. He just seems like such an interesting fella and an incredible artist. And yeah, I'm so curious. I'm just so curious. You? Who's your pick?
I'd have to. It'd be a hard one. To choose between Prince, Freddie Mercury, and Kurt Cobain. Those three, Kurt Cobain as well.
Prince.
Yeah, Prince
Prince,
would be pretty interesting.
he was somebody that I was really wanting to see live for so many years, and I had several opportunities, but like sometimes you just don't take them, or the ticket prices are expensive, and you're like, I'll catch him next time. And when he passed away, that was a big regret. I was like, no, he is such a beast of a musician and a songwriter, and like especially when he tours with his band of all female musicians and stuff like that, like so
He
cool.
was always different, doing different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
came out to Australia before he passed, and I always
Yeah.
kick myself that I didn't go, so
It's interesting because his recorded music, right, sometimes translates for me and sometimes doesn't, right? Does that make sense? Like sometimes I don't always love the production decisions, of how it sonically sounds, but the song is solid, and him as a performer and as a musician is just like otherworldly,
I think it was like his first five albums or something. Like he played all the instruments, produced it. Like just incredible.
beast. That guy's a beast. Yeah, legend.
But Jimi Hendrix, yeah, good pick. My dad would like that one.
Yeah.
He's a big fan.
I'd be just curious if he shows up to dinner sober or tripping on four tabs of acid, like which version of Jimi Hendrix are we getting? Is he going to set his guitar on fire during the hangout? I don't know, but I'm curious.
Yeah, nice. So before we go, could you please tell our listeners where the best place to find your music is or how to follow your journey?
Okay, so that's what I'm figuring out right now with my agency, and we're looking at different platforms, but I think YouTube is going to become a lot more prevalent because we're wanting to tell the travel journey, of what's happening. We want to tell the stories of the artists that I'm starting to work with. And so I think a lot of that content is longer format. And so I think we have some success on TikTok and on Instagram, but I think it's also smaller snippets. And so I think we'll be able to show trailers there, but our longer format content will live on YouTube. And so I think YouTube is really going to become a bigger hub for what we're trying to accomplish in building the platform. And then obviously Spotify is always a great place for music. But if you want to actually get closer in on what's going on Instagram right now, but eventually YouTube will be more so the place where that gets flushed out.
Yeah, definitely. Like your Instagram, I highly recommend people check that out because there's some great stuff on there, like all your travels, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, so Miguel, aka Little Wolf, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to share your story and your music. And yeah, I wish you all the best.
Thanks, man. This has been great. Thank
Thank
you. And also,
you.
like, I wasn't expecting that. The amount of research you did, I was
Yeah.
like, oh shit.
Yeah, I was like, really? I was like, digging deep.
I feel
Yeah.
seen. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't
Yeah.
even know a lot of that information was out there on
Yep.
the
Yeah, no,
internet
I did a lot of research for it, but yeah, I was really looking forward to it, and yeah, thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
And that wraps up this special episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. A huge thank you to Little Wolf for taking the time to share his story, music, and his journey with such honesty, depth, and vulnerability. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out Little Wolf's latest tracks. They're all there available on all major streaming platforms, including Spotify. I'll leave some links in the episode description to make it easier to find, or just search for Little Wolf, spelt L-I-L, Wolf, on Spotify. You can also find him on YouTube and Instagram at Little Wolf Heart or his website at littlewolf.com. If this is your first time tuning into our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss future episodes. And if you're enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for all the latest updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast. Or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show now, thank you all for being here and supporting the show in whatever form it comes in. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.